This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. As the big voice man said, John Lopez. Figgy Fig and Reginald Adetula hanging out with you on this Wednesday before a Thursday night football game on Halloween at MetLife Stadium versus the Jets. The first Thursday night football game
in D'Amico Ryan's
tenure, right? In the D'Amico Ryan's area?
Is this the first streaming game?
It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. First streaming game as well, which you don't have to worry.
They had none last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have to worry too much about. It's going to be simulcast locally on Fox 26. So, if you don't have Amazon Prime, that's the place to turn to. But, of course, you always are good right here on Sports Radio 610, hearing Sean and Seth get you started with the pregame. That'll happen tomorrow after part of the time slot of the drive, and then they'll take you and hand it off to Vandermeer and Ware, and they'll get going on the broadcast. And then, of course, it'll be Sean and Clint shutting it down, giving you post-game coverage well into the wee hours of the morning. So this is the place to be for your Houston Texans. But in that game, right, C.J. Stroud's first Thursday night.
What are they going to be talking about?
I imagine there's going to be a lot of conversation about that left guard position as Kenyon Green, he gets benched in the course of this Colts game. And I do want to go back to D'Amico 7 here again because this has been a conversation, right? Once you have a guy publicly benched, that changes some things. And of course, the circumstance got, a little hairy because Jared Patterson comes in. He acquits himself well during that drive, suffers a concussion, leaves the game, and immediately they put Kenyon Green back. So that creates a little bit of a tough situations. Jared Patterson not going to be available as he's in concussion protocol. Who's going to start? And D'Amico Ryans was asked specifically yesterday, is Kenyon Green going to keep his starting spot on the offensive line?
Kenyon is done fine. Kenyon, of course, like I said yesterday, he had some bad plays. A lot of guys had some bad plays, and everybody's asking about Kenyon, and nobody feels worse about this than Kenyon, right? And nobody, he knows he has to play better. He will play better, and let's go to work. Like, that's what it's about. It's not about everybody trying to figure out, is Kenyon out? Let's Kenyon is ready. He'll be ready to roll, and we won six games with Kenyon. Like, we got to keep going.
Well, you won six games. Like, I don't know if with Kenyon, not because of Kenyon. I think we need to...
He did say that.
Yeah.
Technically, they did win six games.
That is technically Kenyon. Correct, which is my favorite. It's the best kind of correct
technically?
If you listen to Futurama. It did feel like he was had some fits and starts to start there, and it felt like he was just trying to not say... He was like, let me make sure I can say things that are legally defensible, right? Like, the things that I do not have to come back and answer for. I don't know that was a glowing confirmation that Kenyon Green is the starting.
Oh, I know that it wasn't.
And so,
it definitely was not.
We've had conversations about the idea of trading for a guard, but that's not going to happen today and get somebody in at MetLife Stadium tomorrow. No. You're going to have to work with something on this team. So who should play left guard? Who should start at left guard?
Okay, who should?
Yes.
Who is going to be Kenyon Green? I mean, short week. Basically one day of practice. They had a little walkthrough yesterday, travel today. I mean, Kenyon Green is going to start. Who should start? I'm kind of leaning, and I know this is out there a little bit, but Nick Broeker has played guard.
Wow, okay.
He has played guard. Remember, Figgy, during training camp when Laremy Tunsil was on his training camp vacation and they trotted the first team out there? Nick Broeker was the starting left tackle with that group, with the second group during training camp. He's played guard in his career. So they clearly like what they can get out of him. And his name has not been mentioned much at all. But I keep kind of going back to that. And I don't necessarily think it's going to happen this week. But Kendrick Green is the other option. But the other thing I can't shake, Reggie, is they benched Kenyon Green. I mean, he is down. He's embarrassed. He's getting his ass kicked, if we're just being honest here. And when Patterson got hurt, they said, well, guess we got to go back to Kenyon. When they could have maybe gone to someone else, but they didn't. They went back to Kenyon. So I'm, again, admittedly thinking, I don't know about this. I know it's out there, but maybe Nick Broeker. I think the bigger question is how long is the leash?
That's a great question because...
I mean, how long was the leash on Sunday?
Well, I mean, I don't think you could just say on Sunday, right? Like, that leash has been pretty long all season long. Like, if you are one to have some level of value in Pro Football Focus grades, right, when they're charting these things, Kenyon Green is 106. He's ranked the 106th best guard when it comes to overall rankings out of, you want to guess how many? 110.
Oh, man.
Right? Like, that's...
Oh, man.
And, of course, not the end-all, be-all by any stretch of the imagination.
It's a sign.
But, I mean, even if you were just like, are the neighborhood of the hundreds, and you're talking about guards in this league, that is objectively very, very bad. And so...
How long is the leash?
The leash has been very long. It's tough because you don't really want to be playing musical chairs on the offensive line.
But you've already told someone, be ready.
They've got to.
Right?
Be ready.
Titus, be ready.
See, that's a big switch.
Oh, so you're really going like the full musical chairs.
Put Broeker at right tackle?
Hey, that's...
Well, no, I think that at that point, Fisher...
Oh, Fisher. I'm sorry. Yeah, Fisher, exactly. And then Broeker would be...
I mean, if you really want to... I hate to say it because I don't look at him as a guard, but if you want somebody that's consistently played that position at one point, Titus Howard, he consistently played that position at one point.
And oh, by the way, he's facing Quinnen Williams.
Yeah, that makes this that much.
That's a dude.
And I think
that's a little more scarier than last week.
100%. So for me, if you were asking what's the leash, is just I think I have to use the history that I have to get into the mindset of the coaching staff. It is when he is being beat consistently to the point of it being a weak link that a team can pick at. Because I think that was what ultimately was the decision-making factor on Sunday against the Colts, was that he was getting beat instantly, and then you could see the team across from you do things to actively target him. Once he became a target and that became a floodgates of sorts of pressure towards C.J. Stroud, then it became entirely untenable. Now, it probably should have been untenable before that point, but that's neither here nor there. We can't go backwards. I think that is probably the leash that that you have on Kenyon Green.
What is that? Two series? One series?
Well, against Quinnen Williams, it might be one or two series.
By the way, last week he had 1.5 sacks and 8 pressures.
Quinnen Williams?
Yes. He's third in the league among defensive tackles in pressures.
The tackle's been getting after it.
Yes.
In this modern iteration
of the NFL. All week he's rubbing his hands together. He's drinking his Gatorade.
And he still got them braces.
He's drinking that cayenne pepper and water.
Hey, man, don't be putting up these bulletin board material. We talk about a weak spot. Don't give him any. Hey, don't put a battery in his
I'm
back
just
at
saying,
all.
Don't let that smile with them braces fool you, man.
No,
that's a scary mofo.
He has looked at the film and said, "All right, Kenyon Green, huh?" No, they're going to do everything that the Colts did to pick at Kenyon Green and more. And they do it with a better player.
Yeah.
I mean, two series?
Okay, so I think we are both in agreement that you're going to go back to Kenyon Green. Now, the tough thing about this is I think they're also... And one of the reasons why they've had a really long leash, and this will be a cut 13 here from D'Amico Ryans, is that... dealing with the player, the person of it. I think that's why D'Amico Ryans has the mentality and the approach that he does to these teams, is the positivity you imagine goes over a lot better than like harsh negativity in the in the course of these. Not that those are the only absolutes, but I think you understand what I'm trying to go for there. And so there is, and I thought B. Scott asked a fantastic question when D'Amico was talking. How do you check a player's confidence and swagger when he's struggling like Kenyon Green is?
Yeah, for me, I go back and I go to the film, right? It's you go to the film and you show players, right, what they've done well and the good reps that they've had, and just get back to doing that. Kenyon has had a lot of good reps for us, and I expect him to have some good reps this Thursday.
All right. The interesting thing about what Figgy mentioned, you know, Titus to guard and Blake Fisher to tackle. First of all, it's a big change. It's two positions. But secondly, that's something you got to work out on during the week. You got to at least run some reps during the week, and they've had one practice, 1.5, basically.
So,
they probably show you they maybe going to roll with Kenyon Green again.
No, they're going to roll. Well, I think he's going to start the game.
Yeah. It's just how short is the leash? And then also when you talk about the leash, how much confidence do you then have in what you have to put in, right? Because in theory, Jarrett Patterson is the backup center, right? If you were just looking at the depth chart, that would have been Kendrick Green to go into that spot, right, as a backup guard. They didn't go there twice in a way,
twice,
right? Because Jarrett Patterson comes in, and then once Jarrett Patterson goes out with the concussion, then you also have an option to go down the depth chart, but then they go back to Kenyon Green. I do wonder, like, what's the level of confidence that they have in Kendrick Green? And, you know, is that something where you need to see him before you get to the trade deadline and address these things?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You would have to get, whether it's him or Broker or Titus or whatever, you have to get at least another look in the here and now. You might know what, you know, think what you know about their games, but you have to get that look. But that being said, you also cannot stick with Kenyon Green if it becomes what by all rights is going to be another ugly performance facing that dude coming off this game. Confidence clearly has been affected, maybe not shot, but been affected. And you're looking over your shoulder. Like that's the other part of this, Reggie. He is looking over his shoulder.
Yeah, he looking over his shoulder, and other teams are looking at him.
Yes.
As the mark.
Yeah.
So now he got to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
Teams game planning for you.
Yeah.
Is like I don't like getting into the questioning of people's like mental fortitude and those types of things, but this feels like one of those things where if you got
that's
it,
a lot, man.
You got to pull it out here because again, short week.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, like if people are looking at you as potentially the mark. Like he's going to have to find some level of confidence and fortitude, and I imagine that's why Mico's held him that way. That could get to you mentally.
That's like if somebody see you always getting beat up.
Yeah.
People gonna look at you like, oh, anybody can beat that person up. So now you gotta mentally prepare for that, man.
What did I tell you as soon as he went back? Was when they went back to Kenyon Green, we're sitting in the press box, and they went back to Kenyon Green. I turned to you and I said, if you have any pride whatsoever, and I'm not questioning it, but I'm saying if your pride is being tested, you know, when you get back in there, you've been benched and you got to go back in there. If you have any pride, you've got to buck up right there. And all these things about questioning it, it's not even really questioning it. I think it's fair to assume he's looking over his shoulder. It's fair to assume, you know, he knows he's going to get picked on. These aren't like, oh, he's weak-minded or whatever. No, I think it's fair because of the performance that he's had. These are things that just happen.
Yeah, this is admittedly, this is the thing that's consuming the most of my mind when it comes to this game versus the Jets. I think that there's some places in which the Jets' names are bigger than what they're putting on paper. However, defense line isn't one of those, and that has been a place that's really blown up your offensive capabilities this season. You're going to need to protect C.J. Stroud in this one. You're absolutely going to need to, especially when you consider you lost a valuable wide receiving asset, right? Like that, in theory, puts more responsibility on C.J. Stroud's plate to get further the relationships that he has with some of these other wide receivers that he hasn't been able to throw the ball to nearly as
well. Yeah, and we often talk about the, you know, what message are you sending the other 52 guys? You know, when these things come up, and we've talked about it in various instances recently, like what message are you sending the other 52 guys? Okay, what message are you sending the other 52 guys if all of a sudden Juice Scruggs is going to have to cover him in the game plan? They're going to have things in the game plan to cover Kenyon Green. Laremy Tunsil is going to have to cover for Kenyon Green.
And hasn't that been part of the issues on this offensive line?
Right.
Is that dudes are trying to like cover for others and then their assignment slips because they're so concerned about picking up the slack in other situations. Yeah, that I am real concerned, but it does feel like who will start is absolutely Kenyon Green.
I agree.
Who should start? I don't think that's an easy answer, and that's probably the biggest indictment of what you got going right now on the offensive line in general. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's about time for us to go and get our lunchtime confessions brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. We'll do those next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
All right, I don't think I'm in the only one in this boat, but I know it's not a lot of people in there. You guys tell me, because my first confession is off of yesterday and this morning making the rounds was Joe Mixon mic'd up. I'm sure you guys have seen that,
yeah,
and heard that, and pretty good stuff. My confession is, I've never been a big fan of mic'd up, and the reason is, and maybe I'm just whatever jaded. Or whatever. I'm always skeptical that they're really just putting on a show. Like, they know, players always know.
Sure.
Hey, yeah, I'm mic'd up. We've seen audio. We've heard audio of them. Hey, you're mic'd up,
Yeah, but I think that's more of a courtesy for the people around you. Like, hey, don't say nothing.
Yeah. Some people be talking crazy on them sidelines.
Yes, but that leads to me, like if I were mic'd up, I would always be like, I'm not necessarily putting on a show, but aware.
Sure.
To his credit, Mixon was good. It was entertaining enough. And by the way, it does always suck me in. I do always listen to it, but I'm always like, yeah, that's a show.
Am I the only one that thinks
that's pretty skeptical of the mic'd up stuff?
I don't think
so. Nah, because I see a lot of people that's mic'd up and it's not really good.
Yeah.
Bunch of grunting.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, have you heard Nick Chubb mic'd up? That brother don't talk at all, man. He don't say nothing. I think it's all about putting on a show, man. Like,
just maybe if you just approach it that way.
Put a little extra jelly on it. Yeah. Like, be hype. I think that make good content.
And honestly, for me, it's always with the mic'd up. Like, I can, take or leave most of it. It's just those few interactions that you get an opportunity to.
Yeah,
that's what I was like. Oh, okay. So they was talking. Yeah. What did they say?
Yeah, just like to me, the best one this year was CJ Stroud talking to the corner. I forgot who.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Corner was.
Oh yeah.
You're not gonna get me.
You ain't gonna get me. Like that type of stuff. I think is genuine.
But I think that could easily be perceived as that's a show. He knows he's mic'd up.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's a show, he still said it to that man's face.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, right, still a good show. Like all these
goes back to that entertainment question. They know they're entertainers.
Right, and I feel like the way that I feel about this is kind of like a professional wrestling, right? Or wrestling, as I should say, because wrestling happens in the Olympics.
Yes.
But with wrestling, like, hey, man, you can do all this, and it could be scripted up to a point. You can't fake that bump when you jump from the top of a cage down like that. That feeling. That's there, and I feel like you can try and fake it, but you start talking to that dude across from you.
Yeah, he really did that. Yeah. He literally did
that. To make it look real and all that stuff, that all the acting in it, that's a lot of work, man.
In the mic'd up, you mean?
Yeah, I guess part of it is that there have been some instances where it was clearly saying something because he's mic'd up, and I'm just like, all right.
I really, really dislike player comps. It's not that time of year, but in that time of year, I really dislike player comps because it feels like it's unfair, right? Mm-hmm. It's never like this player looks exactly like this other player, and it's never a guy that was just like, he was fine, had a few years. It's always like a great,
now like Patrick Mahomes,
right? Those expectations are there for him. And then also one of the things that I dislike it for is that you'll get the times where it's like, yo, this wide receiver, slot wide receiver looks Wes Welker. Yeah, why is that? Right? Yeah, he just happens to be white.
This quarterback look like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, he's
sneaky
fast.
It's like, hey man, I get it, right? Like they both share a same skin tone, but we could think outside of the box. Like, it just ends up kind of, and I don't want to even use the word lazy because it feels like it's a natural thing that people do. However, I do enjoy comps when they try and buck that trend really strongly. And enter Jim Harbaugh, head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, who said, I watched the film of Ladd McConkey.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Steve Smith Sr.
All right.
And yes, I enjoy this so much. Yeah. I haven't even watched them like that and put them side to side and see. But just give me more of this. Like,
from the white receiver.
I don't know that this could be put on a spectrum of any sort. Mm-hmm. But it definitely feels like if you were going to go not slot wide receiver, Steve Smith Sr. would be high up on the hierarchy of dudes that you pick.
Exactly.
And to be that. But I just like the idea that Jim Harbaugh was like, nah, you're not going to get me with the lazy comp. I am really breaking this down to how they play. Shout out to Jim.
Reminds me of Julian Edelman.
shout out to Jim Harbaugh. Now I'm going to actually go and see if I can put those pieces of film side by side and be like, huh, yeah. Ladd McConkey is Steve Smith Sr.
You're probably going to go, no way.
So this has been kind of bothering me since last week. So last week I was off. I was sick. I was at the crib. And let me be clear. I have a special place in my heart for people that are going through things, homeless people and stuff like that. I pick and choose when I, get a homeless person something and stuff like that when I'm out and about. But this one really bothered me a lot because I was at the crib. I was half dead pretty much or using the bathroom, and I get a ring notification. So I'm like, who is that? Must be the delivery or something like that. Open the door. It was a guy that said he was homeless.
What?
And mentally ill. And do I have any food or money?
Boy, that's crossing the line.
Door to door, huh?
Yeah, that's crossing the line.
At the crib, man.
Yeah, that's definitely crossing the line.
And look, I'm not the type of person that's, diss anybody. I don't diss anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I gotta confess, I had an issue.
You should.
With somebody coming to my door like
that's
that.
That's not
man.
Lacking empathy or sympathy or anything. You don't cross that line.
And that put a lot of pressure on me, too, because he like, hey, do you have anything to drink or
No.
Money, anything?
Empathy, for sure, but you don't
get
that.
Like, I ended up giving them, because, mind you, we just moved in, and so we had no food in the refrigerator because we were still, going back and forth to the apartment. So I ended up giving them a bottle of water, but I'm like, man, I don't like that at all, man, because all right. It's like, now are you going to come back again?
Yeah.
Like, to me, that kind of crossed the line a little bit. I don't know if I should feel guilty about that.
I don't think you should, but also I feel bad saying that. Kind of a heady play, right? Like, a lot of the answers that would typically be given to somebody who, I guess, for lack of a better term, is like panhandling or whatever. Yeah, I don't know exactly what the right word to use in that moment is. Would be like, I don't got cash on me, or like, right. Just, I don't have it.
You're in your damn house.
At your house, you probably got something.
Yeah.
You got something for me. But that's bold.
Because it's one thing being out and about and you can you give me something to eat or money or something like that? I can pick and choose and all that stuff and feel comfortable doing it. But you coming to my house, man.
That's wild.
Like, he walked up to the door and rang the doorbell, man. And then I think what kind of got me too, he mentioned he was mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
So now I got my foot up to the door.
Yeah.
I don't know if he going to crash the house or
what. Yeah.
So I haven't been sleeping right with that, man.
No, like, you shouldn't.
I don't like that.
You shouldn't. All right, so you've seen these things. I think it's Hulu that does it more than others, where they, and it's very irritating, but they have this filter where it says choose your ad experience. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Like, you can choose this series of ads from Progressive or this one or whatever. One popped up yesterday, and I thought about this, and I think it can be done. They should be an already voted filter on your television. In other words, you can click on I've already voted, so you don't get any political ads the rest of the day.
Good luck with that.
Dude, it's beyond. I mean, it's
there's a lot.
It's not even, and they're just stupid, on both sides. They're just stupid.
There's a lot of political ads.
I voted last week. I voted the first day that you could vote in Texas. I should have an app on my TV that says, boom, already voted filter, engaged. Right? And then you don't get them anymore.
That would never happen, man. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yes.
That would never happen. They're going nuts with these ads.
There's that. Also,
there is the technology, Reggie. There is the technology.
And I would like to help you raise this to another level. Can we get away from the text and the phone calls, too?
Oh, for sure. Already voted.
We would all abuse that, right? We would all just be like, I've already voted, even if you haven't.
Well, so what? Yeah. So once your voting starts in your state and you have this filter available, you should be able to use it.
And it would really help, because I feel like this is when they go harder on the ads, right?
Last week or so. Oh, my God.
More power to everybody out there. Hope that you're making it. Watch this. Since the sports equinox yesterday, where you had all the sports, I'm locked in on the three TV setup. I'm in. I'm in there, man. Like, I literally found myself watching on Monday night football, basketball, baseball at the same time. And we had the volumes up and all those things.
Oh, see, that's
psychopath, man.
I'm fully. I hadn't ramped up. There were times I was like, "Feels like I don't need to do all this." I'm all the way in, man. We're in that zone. And a lot of this is because the baseball has really drawn me in.
Baseball's been good.
The baseball's been so good. Like, yeah. I understand that there's people that are looking at it like, "Oh man, I don't want the Yankees. I don't want the Dodgers." I understand that, but the baseball itself, which is the only thing that I could afford to root for, was good baseball, has been delivering. So thank you, Yankees, Dodgers, for at least playing some damn good baseball.
Yeah. Watch this.
These are my confessions. So the last 3 days, I want to say, my ride to work been kind of cool. So I've been using the GPS to get to work. Because
you don't typically use the GPS?
I didn't until I moved into my new place.
I feel like most everybody still uses the GPS on their ride.
I like, this is silly, kind of a mini confession in your confession. I like when the voice goes, "Welcome home." You know what I like?
Oh, you got the fancy. Oh, yeah. I
don't even have my voice on the GPS on.
I just like, "Oh, she's welcoming me home again." Go ahead.
Yeah, but I've been using it because I stay kind of far, so it tell me different routes and all that stuff, the easiest route to get there. And I want to say Monday, they took me a whole different route. I was on the scenic view.
Really?
Like, I was driving the street. I went through Edo. I'm like, okay.
Oh, wow. You really?
I'm like, I like this route right here. So they took me on that route the last two times.
Mm-hmm.
And today, I ain't even pull a GPS out. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take that same route again.
All right.
Look at you discovering.
I got to work without the GPS.
Enjoying different parts of the city than you normally would.
Yeah, man. I'm like, I went through Edo. I was.
All right.
I'm like, okay. I'm like, I like this route, man. Yeah. And I only spent probably like 10 minutes on the freeway.
That's a game changer.
Yeah, so I like that a lot, man. I'd rather do that than spending 40 minutes on the freeway.
I'm real pro surf. Like, if there's the same route or same time, I'd rather take surface streets than take the freeway, right? Are you similar?
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, when I stayed over by NRG, I would take the street. Just, you know, I like going through the neighborhoods, man, going 30 miles an hour.
Yeah, I just like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I hate the highways.
Why do you hate the highways?
They be so
30 years of that crap.
Okay.
Everybody be so aggressive, man.
That is true, man.
I'm scarred for life. 30 years of an hour and 15.
You got to be tense on them highways, man.
But if you can drive in Houston, man, you can drive most anywhere.
Yeah, I go into other cities. I'm like, why are these people going so slow?
Yeah, man, let's go. Gotta move on.
Yeah, when I went back to Ohio, I'm like, man, everybody driving slow. I'm weaving through. Yeah. And I'm like, let me chill out because they actually have speed traps here.
You good?
I'm good.
All right, all hearts and minds clear. That's your lunchtime confessions.
I'm just
here.
Laughing at one text. By the way, did Colin Allred play at Baylor?
Yeah.
You know what? I almost looked him up.
You can recite these
them.
Now.
I almost looked his career.
Oh, see what his stats are?
Yeah, let me see how long he played.
That's
man.
A world.
Was that your deciding factor on the vote?
Yeah, I'm like, I might as well. I feel like I know the guy.
That's a funny text.
It's like, if you were actually good at football,
help
maybe.
Me out, guys.
I don't know.
Help me out, guys.
Yeah, unbelievable. All right, coming up next, Joe Mazzulla had an interesting kind of observation about the NBA trying to make it better, but also, is the NBA have an issue in a very particular way that will stop it from growing and developing? That and more, we'll talk about it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, so Nick Wright, your former partner on this show, in fact.
He's your man.
That's your man.
He's my man.
He had an interesting point as it pertains to the NBA, but I think it actually stretches a little wider.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that here in a second. But before that, we got a little bit of update on your Houston Texans as they're getting ready to travel to New York to face off against the Jets tomorrow, Halloween night. On Thursday Night Football, Dameon Pierce has been ruled out along with Azeez Al-Shaair, the linebacker, your guard center, Jarrett Patterson, and safety Jimmy Ward. And so with Dameon Pierce ruled out, especially now that Cam Akers is gone, your running back depth is a little bit thinner than it had previously been. J.J. Taylor signed to the active roster. Obviously, he was on your practice squad, but he's already used his three elevations.
Yeah.
So he would have to be signed to the active roster, I guess, thankfully, but obviously not thankfully. You had a roster spot after putting Stephon Diggs on the injured reserve after his ACL tear that's going to take him through the end of the season that he's, you know, he's done for the season with you.
Mm-hmm.
So J.J. Taylor will be on the active roster. So your running back depth chart looks as follows. Joe Mixon, Dare Ogunbowale, and J.J. Taylor.
Okay, run, Joe, run.
Yeah, a heavy, heavy dose of Joe Mixon incoming.
Run, Joe, run.
Not like that hasn't been the case already, but it seems like Dare will get a shot here or there and maybe J.J. Taylor, but for the most part, it's going to be a whole bunch of Joe Mixon.
Sort of a low-key, very important part of that is the most susceptible place for the Jets defense, which we've talked about is very good against the pass, upper tier for sure, is against the play action. Like they're susceptible against play action, the Jets defense. So you need a good ground game, you know, to help that.
See, the NFL nerds would disagree. The idea that the play action is effective regardless of if you're great at running the football.
Well, it can be, but it helps if you're running the ball.
I bet it sure does.
Get those linebackers up a little bit.
It sure does. Yeah. Also, there's that, right? That is the information with your Texans. But Nick Wright last week, he made this kind of point. He was talking about an issue that he thinks the NBA has. And this audio is a part of a longer kind of podcast that he was doing. But he was talking to Daryl Morey, obviously familiar around these parts, formerly of the Houston Rockets front office, now running the Philadelphia 76ers. He said at one point he was asking Daryl Morey this.
The best way to win starts to conflict with creating the best television product. Because it is his job to create a winner, but it is the league's job to maintain popularity. And if the best way to create a winner makes the league less popular, then what are we actually doing? Because, yeah, people want to win and they want championships, but the reason they want, one of the reasons they want it is because what goes along with that is incredible wealth and riches. But if the league becomes less and less popular, there's less and less money, and then all of a sudden running a basketball team is not as good of a gig as it once was. Being an NBA star is not as good of a gig as it once was. And his answer was, listen, my job is to look at the rules and create the best chance of winning possible. If the league needs to change the rules, so be it. And I'm here to tell you, the league needs to change some rules.
So there's some interesting things there, but first of all, do you agree with his assessment that that is an issue that exists with the NBA?
100%. I mean, and baseball has that to a large degree.
Yes,
you know, with home runs and strikeouts.
Yep.
The NBA has 3-and-D, and all that.
The thing with the NBA that I think about, because Nick did put up like the idea that there's a whole bunch of three pointers, which are not as fun as seeing guys drive to the hoop, which mm-hmm. I'd probably agree with, but I think that might be a little bit less succinct than the ways that he's putting it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think that the place that you're looking at is the devolution of like the staunch adherence to some of these rules, like that, you know, the travels and all those
types
of things.
Well, that too, that's
all part
of it, yeah.
Right, and all of that in service of trying to allow these guys to run and jump faster and kind of do those things, I think actually kind of undercuts the enjoyment of this in trying to see them, you know, get to the rim quicker. But you were mm-hmm. saying.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, everybody loves a good three-pointer. You know, the crowd goes wild, the announcer, the stadium announcer, makes his noises and all that stuff, but it's not fun to watch if you don't have a stake in the game. Like, you know, like if you're just watching a basketball game, like, oh Lord, you know, they're 5 for 17. This is what I'm watching. It, the entertainment value is not there. It, not like it used to be. There is a certain amount, you know, as in anything, but the same thing with baseball, you know, the home runs and the strikeouts is just, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's just not good.
I agree. And this is something I've thought about a lot. And honestly, I thought about it more through the context of baseball. As baseball has come mm-hmm. to that conclusion and begun changing some of those rules when it comes to the
shift,
trying to the pace of the play and all these things. But I think of a lot of things through the lens of incentive structures. What are mm-hmm. you incentivizing to happen here? And when it comes down to it, you're trying to serve two masters, right? You're trying to make sure the game is entertaining to watch. It is an entertainment product, ultimately, sports. You want people to have the enjoyment of watching, and especially now it's even more so when all of your revenue or so much of your revenue comes through TV, so it needs to be an entertaining TV product as well. But sports, what makes it different than most any other entertainment product is that it is also a competition.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want the fullness of a competition there, right? You need all the fairness in those things and teams wanting to win, because if they're not wanting to win, it lessens the entertainment. While also understanding that sometimes, and especially in this era that we have where mm-hmm. everybody's using books, they're using their spreadsheets and everything to try and get an edge because there's so much money involved that now everybody's trying to game the system to the point where, okay, well, let's maximize it and just take three-pointers and no mid-range shots, which mm-hmm. are really fun. Like, everybody's just three-pointers and getting to the rim, or everybody has decided, you know, bunting and some of this base running is not—it's not most important. What's most important is hitting home runs and not having small ball and all these things. And I think that this is a issue that sports are going to deal with consistently now that, as I mentioned, the money is so big and everybody is trying to find the little places to win at. It feels like this is an issue not just with the NBA, not just with baseball, but with sports in general. We're trying to serve both of these masters and making sure the competition is there, but also still keeping the entertainment in it.
No, I think, you know, my view has been in recent years when it comes to this discussion that fans, the entertainment value for fans, I think the NBA and MLB, and maybe we'll even get into a little NFL, but I think those two leagues in particular, they don't trust that fans can be entertained with other things. Like it's like, hey, fans like a home run. Let's give them a chance to hit a lot of home runs. Hey, fans like a three-pointer. Let's give them a chance to see a lot of three-pointers. But
I think that they're doing those things just because of the math and the numbers of this.
But I think the NBA has embraced it because, hey, the crowd goes wild. I don't think you're respecting fans' ability to be entertained. But this is what I've said, and maybe you'll disagree. Fans like to see the ball touching several hands, the ball moving. Like in basketball, how cool is it when boom, 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 pass, the ball doesn't even hit the ground, and then you get a bank shot or whatever. That might not be the sexiest thing in terms of the analytics, but fans get, you know, they get off on that stuff. Same thing with, you know, a bunt and beating it out at first place. And that's not old school. I think fans like to see the ball touching several hands, the ball moving, and the ball's just not moving.
Yeah, I think the thing that I could kind of see as a common thread is, like, fans want action.
Action. They right? want to see the ball moving.
It's the ball movement. The guys and the fullest representation of competition, sometimes like seeing guys actually go and meet at the rim and mm-hmm. those types of things, like seeing that level of action involved as opposed to kind of standing and shooting a three at times, or even in baseball, I think it's just seeing the big swing and that's it.
It's the pitcher and the hitter.
Seeing the guys run the base path, right? And seeing guys have to make plays in the field, right? Diving web gems are is a thing that shows up all the time on SportsCenter and such. And it feels like because teams are like the analytics of this, and people have tried to like break it down and like break these games down to where they've figured them out, I think we're moving away from that. So it does feel like it is incumbent upon these teams, the NBA, one of them, but not teams, these leagues, to change their rules to shift this. Now, we'll start with the NBA because that's where Nick Wright was. Do you agree then that some of the things that they need to do is try and incentivize or move away from the incentivization that you have on a three-point shot where it's 50% more points? Or maybe is it widening the court? Is there anything that you look at and you go, this could be something that helps the NBA balance this out?
Well, keep in mind, I'm old enough to remember when basketball did not have a three-point line. Sorry.
Wow, that's tough.
But I am. And so it's far too drastic. Like, it's almost like you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube at this point, because the way to do that is, and still have jump shooters, you know, and still have, deep shots, is to take away the 3-point line. That isn't going to happen.
No,
that is not going to happen. So it's far too drastic, right? Because the analytics are there. The analytics say this is the way to win. Well, nobody's going to say, okay, let's try to win another way if that's not the best way.
Well,
nobody.
Especially as the league has had more people move away from just kind of like the common knowledge developed in sport, as opposed to what are the numbers saying, as you mentioned. Baseball, it feels like they're doing a good job of finding some of these things, but with the larger base sizes, it seems like you're trying to incentivize guys getting on the base paths again
a little bit.
But I think that,
but it's also easier in baseball.
And this is another reason why football is not going to lose its place ever as America's sweetheart at this point. Because I think it is the sport where it's closest, the entertainment value and the way to win are closest together in that league. Although I will say entertainment value for me, that, there's not a lot of things that are more entertaining than being able to run the ball well. And it seems like a lot of teams have really geared themselves towards throwing the football. But at the very least, throwing the football is still very entertaining in the ways that you have to do it. And I think that also is a way that clearly helps you win football games.
Well, the other thing about football is everybody can score in football. 22 guys can score. Given rare circumstances in some cases, but everybody's involved. There's no boring element about football. Like baseball has some very boring elements. Basketball has some very boring elements. Football does not. Flat out. There's nothing boring about football. I mean, punts are exciting because of returns and blocks and all that stuff. Like every element of football is a potentially exciting play. That's why it's always going to be king. You know, and the whole thing of the Mark Cuban thing, you know, pigs get fed and hogs get slaughtered. I haven't seen them become a hog yet because they're doing everything right.
Well, they're winning on all of them. I don't even know if they're doing everything right, but I think that they're in a sport where it feels like they're the closest to having those two things match. Mm-hmm. So, man, it's going to be interesting to see as things go along if the NBA is willing to take that perspective on trying to find a way to bring themselves closer and bring some of this. I think there's a lot of people that you could ask if the analytics have made it more fun for them to watch basketball, and there's going to be a lot of no's. And similarly in baseball as well, there's a lot of baseball folks that get real mad when you talk about some of these guys that are really breaking this down to, you know, swing velocity, exit velocity and exit launch angle and those types of things. I don't know exactly how you bring those things in, but it seems very evident that there's sports all the way across, basketball, baseball. I can't really speak exactly to hockey in the same way, but how they can bring those things a lot closer when it comes to the entertainment value and the way to win.
I do think in terms of basketball, this is another sort of long-held belief by me that may not ever happen, but probably has a better chance. I don't think you should have a three-point line in basketball until you get to college.
Just in working the development?
Because you've got players driving, you maybe would develop big men more. See, that's another part. I mean, when's the last time you've seen good, solid, back and forth, you know, big men going at it consistently in the NBA? I mean, yes, there are post-ups, but not like there should be. You accelerate and emphasize athleticism and driving. Like, if you don't have a three-pointer at all until you get to college, I think the game itself benefits just by default.
Now we're back to talking about development and the development structures that are or aren't there. Hello, quarterbacks in the NFL. But I found that to be very interesting from your guy, Nick Wright. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get back to your Houston Texans. Can Tank be the number one wide receiver? And who has to show up and who will show up tomorrow for your Texans? We'll talk about that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.